today we're considering the work of IDC for the financial year 2012-13. They have presented or tabled already to the speaker their annual report with the audited statements attached. They will be giving us a presentation, and members will be allowed to ask questions afterward. Babqin, I think the last time we met, let's also welcome you and the team. And I've seen that you have brought women, more women this time. And I'm told there are also new people from your side. Last time we met, I think some of these faces you have not seen. There are new faces here. For the sake of everybody, I think we need to introduce ourselves. You know, the disadvantage of sitting here, and this light is just too much for my eyes. Let me just sit up. I think so. I'll start at the end there. Babu Mabas.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Babu Mabas, yeah? Ikungalethu, our member. Member of the committee. And the member of the African Congress. Representing the ANC in the committee. Is followed by a new member of the committee, Mr. Kwankwa, representing the UDM. Followed by the member, Obabu Mubu. Followed by Mr. Mubu, representing the DA, and then Madam Tsotetsi, representing the African National Congress, and then Mem Khorosi, representing the African National Congress, and then another new member, Mr. Bukman, representing the African National Congress, and then our whip here, Mr. Ntuli, representing the ANC, and my name is Matulare Coleman, the chair of the committee. We have other members who have apologized who are not here with us today because there are many committees sitting, and some of them do flash. So we really welcome you and appreciate the fact that you are always on time in terms of submission, and your work always looks neat. But they say the most of the issues will get it after you have presented, so that we can test the taste of the pudding. It's easy when you see it looks appetizing, but then let's see whether it is really delicious or not. Thank you very much. May I then, with those words, welcome you and allow Tando to just give us the apologies before we hand over to you for introduction and presentation. Tando?
Good morning, honorable members. I am the delegation from the IDC and everyone present. I've got an apology from Honorable Muhai. He's unable to attend the meeting due to the fact that he's attending a meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources. I've got an apology from Honorable Qhili. She apologized due to clashes of the meetings. I've also got an apology from Honorable Ngonyama. He is unable to attend due to the fact that he's got bereavement at home. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Thando. May we then hand over to Mr. Tuna.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the Chair and the committee members. It is indeed a privilege for us and a pleasure to once more be invited to come and share the work of the IDC with the committee. And I would like to believe, as it's customary, we are going to get even more building points so that when we go back, we can further strengthen this organization of ours, the organization that is for the benefit of South Africa initially, but also the rest of the continent. We appreciate it indeed. Thank you for affording us this opportunity. Chair, likewise, let me firstly introduce the team that I brought. I did say, Chair, last time that there was an omission. We do have lots of women who are in very powerful positions. So this time I made sure that I bring enough, Chair, just to indeed demonstrate that. And also, Chair, during the briefing which we had this morning, I said they will answer all the questions. Not the women, the whole team will answer all the questions. So I will do the presentations, but they will answer the questions. Chair, okay, let me, with the introductions, let me start on my just immediate left. It's Christopher Nsail. He is with the strategy unit. I'm sure the committee members, those who've been here, have known him. And then next to him, we have the head of strategy. That is David Jarvis. And then next to David Jarvis, we have Rochelle Warris. She is in the financial management. So all the technical financial questions, she's promised me, Chair, she's prepared. She will deal with them. And then next to Rochelle Warris, we have Zimbili. Mushesh Zimbili is our head of marketing and corporate affairs. Next to Zimbili, we have Efi Mutame. Efi is our group corporate secretariat. So she looks after all the governance issues and everything that is related to that. And next to Efi, Chair, we have Dineo Skwambane. Dineo is presently a caretaker coach for our textiles industry. We know one of the very challenging. She's an acting head. Presently, the person who is acting, who's the head, is we've seconded him to one of our subsidiaries to come and to try and turn it around. Yeah, so I thought let's put in a lady, maybe she can stabilize this sector, which is very challenging. Next to Dineo, we have Wendy Matebula. Wendy is in charge, she's the head of risk management. Chair, I will make reference to one of the two. So she's almost like a compass to us as we ensure that we are sustainable. She looks at all those risks associated, so she heads that unit. Next to Wendy, we have Machedi Nsasa. Machedi is in the unit we call post-investment. When we make those investments, somebody must look after them. So she's one of those. He is, sorry, one of the team members in that. Sorry, Machedi. Machedi, okay. Next to Machedi, we have Chimwemwe Mwanza. He is in corporate affairs. He reports to Zimbili. So he makes sure that the stories get told properly. That's the IDC team, Chair, but we also have from the department, but let me introduce the shareholder, let the shareholder introduce themselves. So allow the shareholder to do that, the CFO to do that.
Thank you, Chief Executives. Good morning, committee members. Simpiti Tobejani, Economic Development CFO.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Brian Zondo. I'm responsible for the DFIs.
Chair, thank you once more. Chair, before I start, we have some bags. I nearly said paper bags, but no, it's bags. We have some bags, Chair. Inside those bags, we will also put in a little bit of a story. This is, we're trying to provide the committee members with a sample of some of the things that we finance, some of the products that come from those. So in those bags, Chair, you'll find honey, which comes from Bushbuck Ridge. From a community, so I will refer to it in one of the presentations at the end here. It comes from Africa Honeybee. We also have some oranges from Samfarm in Gansbaan near Kimberley. That is where they come from. And also we have some blueberries from one of our investments called Blueberry Mountains in George, which is based in George. Chair. We will have, there will be a write-up inside of what our exposure is and all of it. We said, let's just try and showcase some of them. The committee members are free to take them home and have honey, and I'm sure they'll declare as well. So, okay, fine. Okay, yes, I'm sure you will do that, Chair. Yeah, but we will do that. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm told we have about 50 minutes, I think. We will go through a couple of slides, Chair. And and then we will take it from, we'll get guidance from you, Chair. In the presentations, Chair, there'll be one or two-minute clip videos, which I thought, let me just put in just to make a point. So hopefully we can make it as interesting as possible. Chair, what we've also done, you see to the members, we've brought in new slides, but the only change really from the one that we had submitted earlier is that we've rearranged some slides. There's no new information. We went back, I looked at it, and I said maybe the flow of the slides can be further enhanced. So, but there's everything is exactly as we presented, we submitted earlier. Chair, just as a quick background, particularly for the new members of the committee, I thought let's refresh the committee members on the role that we have as the IDC, which is really to help develop the industrial capacity of South Africa in line with the key policies of government, which is the National Development Plan, the New Growth Path, and Industrial Policy Action Plan. And we do that by ensuring that we develop some of the projects that are not readily fundable. I think that's what makes us a bit different. We want to take a bit more risk so that those projects which would not ordinarily be funded could be funded. And hopefully in this presentation, Chair, we can highlight some of those. If you look in the slide, what we try to do is to say, where do you position the IDC? The committee, we've presented the slide before, but as I said, just to remind the committee that we see ourselves as being sort of that bridge, because there are activities that are particularly on the funding side, which government would play a role, which the commercial financiers would do, and then we see the role of the development finance institutions being on risk sharing, ensuring that we crowd in the private sector and then ensure that those commercial financiers which ordinarily wouldn't take that risk do indeed take that risk. If we look at our strategy, which is leadership in industrial development, firstly it's really to ensure that we increase industrial development impact through our activities. I will come back to that. But also what is important that we do that ensuring that the IDC is sustainable, is in the long term. It's sustainable in two fronts, on the financial aspect, that it's able to have funds and then it can reinvest, but also it's sustainable in terms of the, as far as our human resources, as far as our systems and procedures, as far as our stakeholders is concerned, but also that our investments that we have, that we make, also contribute positively to the natural environment. But if you look into the, how do we increase this industrial development impact? What we do is we are divided into sectors. So what we do is we strengthen our sector development objectives. What we do is we look into the sectors and we say, what objectives can we put in place? What strategies can we have so that we ensure that we understand firstly those sectors, find areas of growth, and come up with those strategies that can ensure that those sectors are enhanced. And that we do by also ensuring that all those activities are aligned with those government priorities, as I said, the NDP, the NGP, and the Industrial Policy Action Plan. And we do that by ensuring that we provide finance. It's important. So you can have the strategies, you can have the plans, but if you don't provide the finance, then we don't. So by actually providing industrial finance, there is capital, we ensure that, that sector development is indeed it does indeed happen. One of the other points that we make was to ensuring that we increase this industrial development is to ensure that we really embrace what is normally referred to as this regional integration. As I said, our responsibility is to South Africa, but it's also to the rest of the African continent. So that regional integration can, in at least in our mind, can best be built at the back of the value chains. And one other aspect that we've included now is which we've taken to heart is to ensure that the operation of CIFA is enhanced. Chair, I know CIFA is coming next week Friday to the committee, so I've got one or two slides, but I will not really touch on those. I think we'll afford them an opportunity to do that. I mean, this is the first year you will see, Chair, when I refer to the numbers, where the actual financial numbers of CIFA now are consolidated because it's our wholly owned subsidiary. But we will not steal any of their thunder. We will allow them to have a proper engagement with the committee. In ensuring that we are sustainable on the long term, I think it's important that we are sustainable financially as well. So which is why we look at the risk profile of the organization. So as much as we take risk, we ensure that it's the risk that is not going to result in us actually going out of existence, but that we manage it appropriately. But that we do take high risk, but we manage it appropriately, which is why we have a unit like the one that Wendy does indeed lead. It's important that the human resources, that the people that we have here are appropriately skilled and that we capacitate them, which is why they would expose them to a number of interventions, both in South Africa, also international, in terms of training and all of those. And there's always a drive for continuous improvement. As far as the stakeholders are concerned, I think one point one wants to make that it's important that we need to always have a sense of what our stakeholders think, which is why we have those surveys, and then from those we can be able to build an appropriate response. And the other point that we make is to ensure that we have partnerships. I think we strive as IDC through partnerships, be it partnerships with banks, be it partnership with government, be it partnership with business that we fund, so that those that partnership is important. And then also ensuring that our resources, our systems and procedures are correct, are appropriate, are relevant, are up to date. Now, if we look at just our operations, which is on slide 4, Chair, I said if you look at this one slide, the whole idea is that if you just look at one slide, and hopefully you can get a sense of what our operations are. What we do is we provide development finance, as the DFI. But what we also do, we assist in developing projects. I will come back to that when we look at the life cycle. But we also provide research. Some of the research is for us to be able to identify areas of growth and areas in which we can fund. But also, there are instances where government would ask us to provide research on some of the policy inputs. For an example, a good one, if we look at the Industrial Policy Action Plan, IPEP, a lot of research was done by IDC. Also in the development of the new growth path, we did provide some background research so that policy decisions are made that are made are actually informed. We do also manage some of the funds that's on the fund management, some of the funds, largely those would be funds which the Department of Trade and Industry would have had earmarked specific for specific interventions, and then they would ask us to assist them in managing some of those as well. And then for some of the businesses that we fund, particularly the startups, early stage ones and the smaller, relatively smaller ones, they do require non-financial support, so pre- and post-investment, so we do provide that. And then on the last bullet on the capacity building, Chair, what we do is from time to time, the development finance institutions, other development finance institutions, largely outside of the country, but in the continent, but also some of the provincial ones, we help them build capacity. Because what we want to believe is that if all development finance institutions can work effectively, I mean, then the interventions can be better served. In terms of our customers, we think business, government, and other DFIs is probably those, some of those key customers. In terms of our business cycle, we come in much, much earlier, Chair. We go all the way until the investments are matured. So we'll do pre-feasibility, feasibility, commercialization, expansions, and all of that. Our sectorial involvement is manufacturing, and that in manufacturing it's largely textiles, metals, forestry and related products, chemicals. That's the bulk of our manufacturing activities. And then we go to agro-processing, that's a value add, mining and mineral beneficiation, green industries. This is one which is growing faster. You'll see when we talk on the numbers, Chair. And then we look at industrial infrastructure. That's the infrastructure we think is key for industries to be unlocked. And then naturally, tourism and cultural industries and any others, which is ICT, health, media in motion, which will show some of the examples. The products that we provide, Chair, would be the normal general debt or a loan facility. We also have a hybrid, which is a quasi-equity. We take the actual equity or shareholder in the entity. We also do provide export and import finance. And for those, then, when we provide export and import finance, it does not necessarily have to be only restricted to South Africa. It can be anywhere in the world. We do provide short-term and bridge finance, and we provide guarantees as well. And there are instances where we would provide wholesale funding through intermediaries. An example would be on the agricultural space, particularly when some of those farmers experienced drought in the past, would have given financing to an entity then that would be able to disperse that money to the individual farmers. Our involvement in South Africa, that's predominantly our starting point, but also the rest of the African continent. This slide as well, Chair, I'm sure the committee has seen it before, but I think really this is how we go through the process. We either get applications or sometimes we identify some of the projects. Some of them in the Berry one, for an example, those would be the ones that we started. We do the basic assessment, so then we do, for projects we do a pre-feasibility. And the basic assessment, what we do is we get a business plan or get an idea, you want to see whether, does it make sense? I mean, can it work? What else additional work they can do? And then once it's past that stage, and then we do a proper assessment, due diligence, we send out a team which will go and do the due diligence, and then it will go to the appropriate committee. The appropriate committee will approve it or put in conditions if there is a need, and then we will implement it. We have legal. The challenge for us, Chair, is to try and do all of this in as short period as possible. Which is why I think the feedback that we get from customers is very important. Over time, we have improved. We have come up with mechanisms where we've said, now let's look at complex and non-complex transactions, because there are those that are non-complex, and we've worked hard to ensure that the non-complex ones, from the time we get the application to the time this thing is ready for implementation, we shouldn't take more than a month. We have what we call a 15-day turnaround. But we understand for the complex ones, it is indeed complex in its nature. For that, yeah, we do have a 15 days turnaround time. So from the time we receive the application to the time the application has been approved and an agreement is ready to be negotiated. Because then what we find is once we have the agreement, maybe then the client might take it to their lawyer to check it, to say that's fine. So that period, then it's difficult sometimes to manage that. But for the complex ones, they do have a number of hurdles to cross. So, but we also try and be conscious to the fact that we can try and minimize the period that we spend. Now coming to the activities, Chair, of what we've done in the financial year that you've mentioned, 2012-2013, the couple of slides. What we've done is, which is where the rearrangement has happened now, Chair. We thought, because we had the summary at the back, so we thought let's bring in, if the members have an old one, that would be on slide, that should have been slide 31 in the old one, I think, which is now slide 6 now. We've just rearranged them. So we thought let's bring in the summary. You'll see, Chair, we'll give you a sense of what we do per SBU, what we do per province, and then we'll give some examples. We've brought in a couple of examples, Chair, just to bring it to life exactly what is it that we do. Because we've shared the numbers. Sometimes when you share numbers, you don't get a true sense. What we've observed during this period, Chair, is that the mining value chain has received the largest portion in terms of how we segment our business. And this is largely related to some of the investments we've made in the steel industry. I've got examples, I will talk to that. What we've also observed is during this period is that the renewable side has continued to receive the highest. This is in this period which we're covering, would have done round two. Round three is, we've also participated in that, but the adjudication only happens, I think, this month still. So we'll probably see that impact next year when we come in report. So round two has an impact. But also what we found is in this year that we're reporting, Chair, manufacturing and agro value chain has received about 24% of the funding, which is, for us, it's not enough, but it gives us a sense that it's actually right, because we want to create more jobs on the manufacturing and the agricultural value chain. I think the challenge is for us to increase that in that side, because then you're doing value add as opposed just to an extraction and not doing value add. And in this bar chart, it's trying to demonstrate that you see agro is 4%, forestry 3%, mining 36%, as I said, but it's because of the steel, I will talk to that. Chemicals, metals. The venture capital, Chair, although it looks small, I don't think the committee members should necessarily be worried, because that's the nature of it, because that is high risk. So we've ring-fenced some amounts in there. So, I mean, if you look at the amount that we've allocated, it will be small. But there, it's when you're giving people an opportunity where they come up with an idea. And there, I mean, we know the hit rate sometimes is 10% in its end. So, but because of the size of the fund that we've allocated, it will always be relative to the others, because this is in terms of numbers. Numbers, Chair. You'll see, I mean, green is still 26. I think the challenge for us, Chair, which we're wanting to strive to, is to increase. You see that the chemicals, metals, clothing, and textiles, and if we can increase those more and more, I think then we're getting into manufactured goods, which is what we need in terms of NGP and industrial policy action plans. Now, coming to the actual numbers, Chair, this period we approved, on the right of the slide, we have the five-year forecast. What we've approved, Chair, for this year is about 13.1 billion compared to last year, is about 13.5, which is almost in line, Chair. There's a slight decrease, but if you see, it's just almost in line. But what is significant this year, Chair, is that committee members, is that we've disbursed about 16 billion, which is the highest in a while. I think it is important for us that we continue to disburse as much, because that's actually when the money goes into the economy that actually makes the economy work. So that's the big part. Now, if you look at the impact of our approvals and activities as far as job creation is concerned, Chair, it's on two fronts. What we've done is, if you look on year on year, for this year it's about 19,000, which is, I think something went wrong here, Krista. This color did not, that color should be gray, so So we obviously now we know color coordination by men doesn't work quite well. Okay, so that should be great. That's about 19,000 jobs that will be just about 19,000 jobs that will be created, and about 4,000 jobs will be saved from our activities. But if you look on the over the 5-year horizon, I think the numbers are increasing. But we are the first ones to admit that this is still not enough. We need to be conscious of the fact that we try and target those that are more job rich, those interventions that we have. But we still find that some of the downstream industries, metals, clothing and textiles, have contributed, at least in the investments that we've made. If you look on the regional development chair, the small circle, that's for 2013, and then. But what we've also tried to do, let's look over 5 years to see how have we managed. We still find that there are some provinces which we're still battling, Chair. Free State is just but one that one is probably worth mentioning, where we're not doing enough. Even if you look on the 5-year period. Even if when you look on this year, I think this is one area which we're looking at. We also admit that we can do more in Mpumalanga and Northwest. There's a little bit of comfort in that even over the 5-year period we've looked at it, it looks better, but Free State has been our biggest worry. We have highlighted some of the examples during the period of some of the projects that we have. Those examples are more than the ones that I will share. We'll have a couple of slides on specific ones. But we've seen quite a fair cross-mix on manufacturing and on agro-processing on all of those. Also, the other thing that we consciously try and do, committee members, is to engage with the provincial governments to actually see what the strategies are and then build at the back of that to see what their priorities are. That's why we have presence in every province. We have both the regional office and in some instances we have, in fact, in every province we do have one or two satellite offices so that people can have access. But for us really it's that engagement with the provincial government, in more in particular the MECs of economic development, so that we can see where the priority areas are, so that we can try and build in line with that. We are also present in the rest of the continent, Chair, but I must say for this particular financial year that we have not done as much as we had thought we could do. Really our approach there is to look at the value chain approach. That's what we want to do. I think probably the three key investments which are worth noting, we had participated in a cement production in Ethiopia, gold mining and brick making in Zimbabwe, and also there's a hotel in Ghana which we provided further funds so that we conclude. There are some other projects, for an example in Namibia, which came in for further funding on the cement plant as well, there, which we had provided. And yeah, but this slide, hopefully I think it looks better in the handout than here. It gives a sense of some of the sectors that we have. So we're saying let's be proactive as opposed to be reactive, really, in ensuring that we provide that intervention, that value chain does indeed happen. The other reason really why we're in the continent is to assist some of these South African industries or companies that we finance, because we know over time they'll outgrow South Africa. So I think it is important that we assist them as they go into bigger markets, because I mean South Africa, we know the population is about 52 million. If you go to SADC it's 300, if you go to the rest of the continent it's close to a billion. So it's close to a billion people. So it gives you a good opportunity for you to go into the rest of the continent. Now, the next part, Chair, is just to go share with the committee a number of examples. So that we've talked about the specific numbers, but let's talk about exactly what is it. I mean, we had approved about 238 odd investments. So the idea is not to go through to all 238 here. I mean, we've just picked up a couple because some of them formed a sense. We've looked at the steel, for an example. I said the steel is probably the biggest beneficiary this year. Really, what was our strategy there? Firstly, is to ensure that there's a security of supply for raw materials. but also is to ensure that through proper pricing, downstream industries' potential is unlocked. I think that's one of the objectives that informed us when we went into participating into some of the steel companies that we've funded, and also in the process ensuring that we stimulate the labor intensiveness or the job ratio of those. So some of the projects that we got involved in, one is the iron mineral beneficiation services, IMBS. Here there's a new technology which we've helped develop over time. We provided about 77 million. What it does is, if you go into Palabora, there's something called magnetite, which over the years during the mining, that's just been dumped, but in there there's an iron content. And then what this project does is actually produces what we call briquettes, which you can use. This is very a good substitution, or at least complement on the scrap in particular. So we know, in steel manufacturing, you also need some of the scrap. So this is this technology. Once we're rolling out, in fact, it's launched in November. I think in November we're launching it. So once this is proven it's working, you can actually launch it we can actually put other plants in other parts of South Africa. So that helps you because you've got the resource, that's one. On the fines, we can also use it for some of the fines of the iron ore fines. And because we know the price of scrap is indeed an issue. So that's one part, that's our intervention. But also what we've also done is, we as much as we know scrap is still a challenge, but let's say we've supported a company, Agnes Steel, which is actually a partnership between the South African entities and the Indian entities under the same name of Agni, where instead of just shipping out steel scrap, you beneficiate the scrap now. You make it into billets so that you can be able to use it. So that's the beneficiation part. Of course, we know there's a lot of export of scrap which is happening. So this one is based in Kuha, in the Kuha port, which we're funding. So their first phase is to do billets, and then we will also partner with them to do further downstream beneficiation. That's the first one. And then Chair, the SCORE, which is our biggest acquisition. So what they would do is the chair. This could have been a car. Just still. So what they do is they take the scrap, they crush it, they cut it, they put it in the furnace, and they put in some of the other chemicals, and then you use that. Then you can use that the billets to make different type things. You can go to the next one. You can use something like this for an example in some instances. So this is like the first part where you take. Because what we've seen, Chair, is people just collect scrap and then they ship it to China, to India, to wherever. But let's say let's beneficiate it in the process to create jobs as well. Okay. And then under steel, the last one under steel, Chair, which we financed is the acquisition of SCORE. Really there is to ensure that we take advantage of the localization, which is happening from the infrastructure spend by government, but also from the state-owned entities. But also, we know SCORE is one of the very few producers of locomotive frames. To say at the back of what Transnet is going to be doing, we thought this will provide a very good opportunity in taking advantage of that. So this is one of our investments. So in our consolidated figures, which I will talk to, Chair, now this is the first year where we actually consolidate SCORE. So you'll see in the numbers even going forward, we have 74% of that. That's on... on the steel side, that's our approach, Chair. There are other small ones which we funded, but we thought let's just pick up the big one. And then on the green industry, as I said, we participated in round one, and this year, which we're reporting, we participated in round two, where we're playing our role in the support of electricity generation. That's why we participate in wind, we participate in concentrated solar power and photovoltaic. I will talk to the specific ones. That's on the electricity generation, but also what we're looking at in our participation is to ensure that we promote the production of local components, because what we're saying is at the back of this electricity generation, let's see how we provide, we increase local production, or at least ensure that the requirements for local content is increased so that we build industries at the back of that. That's another reason why we participate in this. But it's not only on the electricity generation that we get involved in. We're looking at energy efficiency, cogeneration, and waste management, some of the other aspects. On energy efficiency, for an example, Chair, we partnered with KfW, but that we did already in 2012, where they've provided a relatively softer financing facility, so that then we can encourage people to tap into it as they look at their processes and making sure that they're energy efficient. So some of the case studies that we have here, Chair, this, if you go to Upington, you'll find this tower. This is one of two that will, this is, okay, this is one of two concentrated solar power projects, but it's different technology. This one is already there, Chair. I mean, it's this is not a photo. What is it? This is not a Photoshop. This is already in there. The whole idea, it should almost, it won't be exactly, it should look like this. There'll be lots of mirrors around this. What will happen is the sun shines on the mirrors, and then it reflects back into the tower, and then electricity is generated. And then you have the CSP, because this one will be able to store it for a couple of hours. So this the CSP is good in that photovoltaic itself does not store energy, but this one, particularly during peak time, let's say around 6 to 8, you'd need more energy. So because it stores, it can be able to use it. So here we're partnering with Abangoa, the Spanish company. They are experts in this. So there's two of them. So that's one part. That's the construction is happening. That's on the concentrated solar power. On the wind side, Chair, I said one of the reasons why we participate is to ensure that there is a local content. Now, this part is a tower, Chair. So now in Kuha, we funded a company called DCD Doba, which is going to be able to produce these so that they are supplied into this. There is a study we're doing on the blades. It's still not very successful, so we're doing a little bit more work, but at least we know now for the towers, because these are big, and I think most of the raw material we can use in South Africa. But there are still some other parts, like the motors and all of those, which will still be importing. The advantage for us is it's local. It also helps create jobs. And last time I visited them a month ago, they're still on track to be in place in 2014. And then we have the second last one on the green is the photovoltaic, where we funded a couple of projects, but this is one of those where we will be creating 140. They'll be assembling. Not everything can be manufactured in South Africa, Chile. Like for example, those cells themselves, that part could still be imported. Although we're looking at other technologies, other projects. Probably when we come next year, there might be two others. There's two others I know we're working on. Maybe we would have made some breakthrough. But the other parts of this, you can actually get in South Africa, and you can actually assemble and be able to create jobs. So this is the manufacturing of it. Because if you just to remind the committee members, in terms of the PPPs, round 1 and 2 and 3, certain megawatts have been allocated for concentrated CSP, that which is, I showed, the tower is one of those. And certain megawatts have been allocated for this, for PV, and then certain megawatts have been allocated also for wind. So it's a combination of those to provide power. So we're saying at the back of that, let's create industries and ensure that there's jobs created and there's local manufacturing. Because we know once you have these solar farms and these wind farms and these concentrated solar power farms are there, there's very little job that is created, because these things just stand on there and they just generate. So it's better to create jobs in the creation of those. Okay, and then I mentioned recycling. This is one, I think, part which as South Africans we're not doing, which we can do much more. So we partnered here with one of the large country waste management services company to ensure that we encourage recycling. And this one is based in Pretoria. But there's a couple of other small ones which we're doing, but let's highlight this. I think here there's potential. Not only does it talk to the environment, but it talks to us actually using some of those raw material in the process. And I think in 2012, Christo, remind me, we did bring in a project where we're using plastic to make material. I think we did bring it. It's also on the under the recycling side. And then, Chair, we and committee members, we looked at the agro-processing. Why agro-processing? We know it's largely in the rural areas where unemployment is high. And we said, how do we add value into the agro-processing, which is why then we participated in a number of projects, but also in that process, bringing in blank participants into the sector, because we know some of them are farmers, some of them have been farming for the better part of their lives. Which is why in Kuha we participated in a dairy. In 2012 we brought this project, but what we further done is now they are doing long life milk, but in partnership with them we now established a mozzarella cheese production facility. For those chair that eat a pizza, a Debonair's pizza, there's a mozzarella cheese. So all of that cheese now, it used to be imported, it will come from this Kuha dairy. So that's one of the, it used to come from Brazil actually, I was told. So, but there's a partnership which we struck with them, so we produce that for them. The beauty about this is here, you have commercial and small-scale farmers providing milk. So that's why then they're also shareholders into this project, which is, as IDC, we also help fund them so that they are participating in this. We're still learning on this. Hopefully we can bring in a number of other examples. There's another project which we have on the soya. We know the nutrition of soya. With one in Bronkhorstspruit, which we're looking at, which we're funding in partnership to make oil cake and crude soya oil for industrial and animal feed. So this is also part of our value add on the agro processing. That's on the agro processing side. I thought let's give the committee a sense, you know, of the live examples that we do, because we talk numbers. The next part, Chair, is on the film industry. This is an interesting part of the industry because value-wise, if you look at one project per project, we don't necessarily have to spend as much as we do if you're doing a steel plant. But also, if you look at the jobs only for that particular project, they might not be much, but if you look at the whole value chain, pre-production, post-production, any inputs that are provided, it's got potential to create a number of jobs in there. So as far as the value chain is concerned, it helps. And also we know the skills will be developed, but also we provide, through our intervention, that we provide facilities so that then it's a destination for those international film producers who can come here and be able to make their productions. The next one will be, well, for an example, this Cape Town Film Studio. We started with this in 2010. As they expanded in 2012, 2013, they came to expand their facilities to have water tank and beach reservoir facilities so that whenever they have some of those movies, which you see that they look like they're in the ocean or something, some of them are not necessarily there, they're in the studios. So that enhances them. So once you have all of these facilities, it makes it easier for people when they come in with their facilities, with their productions to come here. So I hope some of the committee members have seen the studio as you drive down all the way to, when you drive to Stellenbosch, I think on your left you see the film studio. So we've participated. And there's something like a ship that it's there. I mean, this is one of the things that we supported when they do those things. And then coming to some of the feature films that we funded, Chair, I hope, in fact, maybe next time, Zimbili, we should provide some copies of some of the movies that we funded we've done that to some of the committee members. I hope the committee members will have some moment to watch a movie. However, as far as the Long Walk to Freedom, Chair, I would encourage everybody to go and watch it. You have to all. I think the premieres on the 28th of November. And what we thought, Chair, we will just show a little bit of a trailer for 2 minutes so that I can also drink water, Chair. Okay. On the 28th
of November.
November. Countrywide.
Thank you.
I hope we've wept, we wet the appetite for the committee members. We will not give free tickets, Chair. We want South Africans to go and pay and watch the movie. Chair, only two actors are actually foreign. The rest of them is South Africans. It's only the lead actor and Winnie Mandela, and Winnie Madikizela Mandela, Chair. It will premiere in South Africa and then it will go. I think there was an article yesterday in the newspaper that it will only go into Europe on the 18th of December, firstly in France. I mean, but it will. It has already started getting good reviews, Chair. Okay, but then let's move on to the... We know government is spending a lot of, or it's committed at least, a lot of resources on the infrastructure bill, but also we know Transnet and Eskom, so I think it is important that in our activities that we align with it and actually take advantage of localization. So some of the activities that we do, Chair, talk to that. And also what we've also done is at the back of that, we try and create what the President has been referring to, which is the black industrialist. I think we are the first ones to admit that we still have a long way to go, but I think one good example of that, Chair, is a case where we got involved with an entrepreneur who incidentally is a lady, started by refurbishing rail coaches in 2009 in Western Cape, went into KwaZulu-Natal, but now is expanded and is now a partner in UCW, which is going to be actually manufacturing now of the carriages and wagons. I mean, to us, I think hopefully we can get more and more of those. But this is taking advantage this is taking advantage of the localization of the infrastructure spend that is coming from Transnet, but hopefully we can do more for the others. I mean, the other example which we have is at the back of Eskom is we funded a company which will provide insulated copper cables at the back of the infrastructure build, also in the process creating jobs. So, Chair, we've shared a couple in different sectors, but there are other sectors that we do. I mean, I did highlight that we're into forestry. We're into forestry, chemicals, clothing. So there are a number of other examples. As I said, Chair, the intention was not to give the whole 238 which we approved this year, but to give you a sense, like in the tourism, for an example, this is a niche one, specific. It's good for those who like windsurfing. So that's on the tourism side in the Western Cape. We've looked at that. The other good, probably a good South African story, Chair, is here we have, when this project was started, Lodox, we had TBS, which was using the X-ray scan to detect diamonds from people as they leave, because you know diamonds are very mobile. But at the back of the head, they said, how do we use this for the health side? And the back of that, we did this low-dosage X-ray system. So as IDC this is where, in fact, now, for me, this is where the role of development finance institutions come in. We came up with patient capital. You bring in a new product into the health sector where there's a number of X-ray systems, market acceptance takes long. If IDC was not present in this one, I don't think we would see which the progress it has made. The beauty is it takes full body X-ray in 13 seconds. With fully closed, it's digital. It's not MRI kind. It's actually digital. This is not MRI kind, Chair. This one is actually better used. You know, if you're in an accident and you're coming in quickly, they need to get a sense of where have you broken a bone or everything so that they can get it quickly. Because you need to make that, the doctors need to make that decision to say, okay, is it a femur or is it whatever part, so that they can be able to intervene. So you'd find them in all the, it's probably best placed, not to find them, it's probably best placed in the emergency wards. There's one in Chrisani, Baragwanath, we donated one. In fact, we donated about five, there's one in KZN. But also, what we've also found is and there's one in here in Groteskier, actually, they bought it, actually, in the mortuary part. In fact, this one, for those that watched Grey's Anatomy, in fact, this was featured in the chair. What was actually very probably strange for me is that it's only when it was shown in Grey's Anatomy that South Africans started realizing the benefit of this. Christo has a 1 minute and 30 seconds video on that. Just to prove a point, sometimes we have all of these great products as South Africans, but we don't take. And at the back of that chair, last week, I think the week before last, it won an award in the Accenture as the Accenture's Innovation Index Awards 2013.
So just pay attention.
And now, what you have all been waiting for, the LUNOX. LUNOX Radiation X-ray Static Scan provides full body anterior and lateral views and deep low radiation index imaging safer for children and pregnant women. It is our most cutting edge tool in diagnostic technology. Murphy.
When can we use it? Oh, I'll volunteer. When I was 6, I stuck marble up my nose and it never came out. We checked my stool for over a year.
Listen, this is not a toy. I know we all want to see this thing in action, but be patient. The last thing we need is some line forming when some real trauma comes in.
Can I help you?
Well, I noticed your patient has acute abdominal pain. Any chest pain?
Because if you want to put it through the blow docs for a full body scan, you could.
Let me, this is real, Che. We, this one here, they're acting, but this thing works. In fact, the beauty about this is, Che, when they were deciding, because they decide what to show, what technologies. We did not pay for this. This is, they, in fact, because we have one in the U.S., so they saw it in the U.S., they said, which is, what technologies can they use? And they actually, out of their own, did their own research and actually found this. So we actually, this was like free advertising, actually for a lot of this. But it does work in nature. If you, in Kisari, Panagona, you can be able to see it, or even here in Kisari. But I think this chair is actually indeed a good success story because they've advanced now in terms of the latest of it. Chair, there's the others. We know the textile industry is a tricky one, but we know the potential it has in creating jobs. So we funded a project in KwaZulu-Natal in Lembe district where we will be creating about 1,800 jobs from this intervention, the distinctive choice. But also on the medic side, chair in Western Cape, I'm sure some of you have seen this product in the discams or on the bracing. These are some of the South African products. So, chair, the story, what we're trying to do is that we, for this financial year, we have approved about 13 billion, dispersed about 6. Those approvals will have potential to create about 19,000 jobs and save about 4,000. We said let's share some of the examples of the actual real cases that we're doing in terms of. I'm the first one to say this country of ours needs more, this continent needs more. But we've tried with this period, and we're not saying we will rest. We will be able to do even more. But providing finance is not the only thing that we do. We do participate in the CSI in the CSI side of the business as well. And I think what we've said here, we wanted just to pick up a couple. We know education is one area that needs to grow. It's a good investment. We've partnered with Adopt a School Foundation where, for 5 years, we've committed to adopt 20 schools to look at the whole school development program. And there, we're putting about 80 million to that effect. We're also supporting FETs because we know the skill is one area that we have to do. And then naturally, in the bursaries, we do that. Chair, I mentioned that in the paper bags, you'll have honey. This is the honey story, Chair. That came not necessarily only just from our normal funding, but some of the money that we have on the CSI. Because what we're doing is on the CSI, it's not only the education or just giving a bursary, a sponsorship there, but it's to also that we ensure that we create social enterprise. So that's one of the things. There's a couple of others which we have, a number of them. There's also in the Soweto Economic Zone where they do fantastic products. I saw, I think the last time Mr. Mabasa had shown some of the products in there, which is some of them come from this way we participate in it. Yes. Okay. So that was free advertising from Mr. Mabasa. Okay, Chair. As I said, CIFA, Chair, I will skip those slides. Let's give them an opportunity to present, Chair. What we realize is that it's still early stage for CIFA. They need to find their ground, particularly on direct lending, Chair, because it's one area they have never done before. And you need to develop those skills. IDC can because we've developed them over time. We've been interacting with them, Chair, providing, seconding people, making sure that we build capacity. But it's not easy, Chair. It is not easy. I'm not trying to plead they make a case for them when they come, Chair. But I think it's one area which we will continue. That's one of the key reasons why they belong to us now, is to help them build capacity in that area, particularly on direct lending. So that's one area which we will. But they will come and they will present, and they will present some of the examples that they have. And then the last part, Chair, which I'm going to be brief, Chair, so that we don't want it to be too technical, is on the financial side. I think it's given that we have to do all of this, we have to ensure that we're sustainable. If you remember on the strategy slides, I mentioned financial sustainability, so it's important that we continue to be sustainable so that we can be able to do more and more of this as well. Now,
I thought maybe let's separate the two. Let's first dispose of the non-financial part, and then we can go to the financial part after a break. Members, you've been attentive for quite some time now.
the time to interact with the presentation. Thank you very much, Babuqin. As usual, I think we make sure that we have a clear understanding, a thorough understanding of what you're doing. And thank you for even going beyond the normal ways of preparing a presentation. You know, you went out of your way to give us even clearer pictures of what you're actually doing on the ground. Thank you very much. May I then note members who would want to talk? Babu Mabasa, followed by Babu Mubu, and then Mr. Babu Bookman, and then Babu Ntul, in that order, please.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair, Obagina, as well as all the officials that have visited us today. Thank you very much for the wonderful work that you are doing. First of all, I think as the presentation was being done, it made me feel inspired. And I had a wish that I wish our learners from as early a stage as grade 8 could be exposed to this one way or the other. I don't know how, because what we need is to inspire confidence to the young minds so that they must start to believe in their country and believe in themselves. And that way, by the time they get to grade 11, grade 12, we will find that they are already aspiring to be engineers, etc. And also to close that small space where you were saying, where you were saying it is the one that takes the smallest percentage because it is the most difficult. If our young brains start early, we will find that it grows. My second point is to find out the relationship between IDC and SABS on a continual basis. Do we have complementarity there? But that also takes us to agriculture. I know some of the things that we have seen are agriculture in nature. But also to say agriculture has to appreciate IDC and vice versa. So that even those dry areas, some of the rural areas where there is never rain, you may find that with an interaction with yourselves, some opportunities can be noted, because we have a threat where there will be people in certain geographic spaces who will just feel there is nothing they can do where they are located. One but last point is when we undertook an oversight visit in KZN, I think it was KZN, where we saw that organization of people with disabilities that was engaging in furniture production. So I'm asking myself and saying, to what degree are we having replicas of that throughout the country? But what we also noted there is that it was running far too short of non-racialism. It was almost purely white. So it's because if we can have replica of those, and also a serious support of the existing ones, like the one that was started by the late Friday Mafuso, Sharp in Soweto in Mufulo. And my last question is, I know that the CEO will tell me that SIFA will speak to this question. But I don't want it to be a baby of SIFA only. I think IDC must also hold this treasure in anticipation. The cooperatives, I want to convince IDC that cooperatives do not necessarily mean selling peanuts at the corner of the street and making some small tiny things. But we must strive to grow and support cooperatives to a point where we can compete with other countries in the cooperative sector. So that IDC should always challenge itself and say, where are cooperatives in our plan? I'm saying this because one of the actually I will do with less, because one of the biggest threats that we face is the gap between the rich and the poorest, where we find that unintentionally, we may find we only help few people to go up the economic ladder, and we leave many behind. So with cooperatives, we stand a chance of raising many. So if IDC can also take up that challenge. But a great work
done.
Thank you,
Mabasa. Babu Mubu.
Thank you, Chair. I won't be as long as Mr. Mabasa. I'm not a communist, so I speak very briefly. I want to say, Chair, that I'm very impressed with the presentation. It's a lot of things that some of us did not know that we are beginning to know as a result of this presentation. And I'm disappointed that this LODOX thing is not known in this country, that we get to know it through a movie that's produced in another country. What's wrong with our communication, Mr. Chimwemwe Mwanza? Why don't we know about it in this country? I read about it somewhere, but I don't watch movies. But I'm seeing for the first time that it's actually highlighted in the movie. Excuse me? No, not very much. It's not one of my interests. But I'm saying, why don't we know about this in the country? You know, I mean, it's a great achievement that we should be proud of. My two short questions. I noticed that in you know, allocation of funding, mining received the largest portion of funding, that's particularly in iron and steel. My question is, does it worry you that there's so much labor unrest in the mining industry, as we have seen in the past few weeks, that and also the poor performance of some of the mining sector, like in platinum, I believe, gold? Does that worry you that you might be spending money into industry that is going down? Second, waste management and processing. To what extent are small scale people involved in this? Because I see if you drive to Dobsonville in Soweto, you pass that dump site. I've been there once or twice, and you find a lot of poor people gathering waste to sell. And to what extent are they helped to become like maybe cooperatives, like my communist colleague was saying, to create that cooperatives, small waste collectors and manufacturers, or whatever we call them, processors? I'll stop there, Chair. I've got another question, but I'll ask it later. Thank you.
Thanks, Jemobo. Mr. Pickman.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. I saw in the foreword by the Chairperson, she indicated that one of the strategic risks for the organization is the question of impairment. We're standing at 1.9 billion, and I see 70% of 2013 in terms of the, let's say, in terms of the risk portfolio. My question is, what the Chairperson also indicated that this will be monitored very closely. So I want to get an indication, assurance from the IDC, what are they doing to manage that? And then, just secondly, the question of equity investments in agriculture to create jobs. I see in the list that was provided in the annual report, the IDC prefers to invest in well-known institutions, Hans Berensky, Karsten Palming, Broodkraal. My question is, what about new, upcoming farm processing, new entrants to the market? It's very easy to invest in going concerns that's doing very well over many, many years. So my question is, what are you actually doing then if I look at that list? Where is the list of new entries into the agro market? And what is the job implications?
Thank you,
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson, and I would also like to welcome the presentation, and I would like to congratulate Mr. Qhina for a good presentation. I mean, it's improving every time whenever we meet. We are very impressed the way it is presented. Chairperson, in fact, I'll say it's an advice. If the IDC on its corporate social investment can be able to partner with the private business, private sector, particularly to the FETs, where they can be able to adopt an FET, if you can be able to try to influence the private sector to say, that's what I'm doing, what can you do as a private business to adopt a school or an FET, I think we can make some big strides. Chairperson, I want to build on what Comrade Mabasa was saying about the sheltered employment project. Last time you took down the, you did not know about it. Then we requested you to have a look at it to see how can you increase the capacity of those, because they are there, they are existing. The only thing that they did not get funding, and then it was dwindling until they depend on attrition. Once a person leaves, then they don't employ because they say the capacity, they do not have. Then we requested you to have a look at it to find out whether you can increase their capacity. So I think Mabasa, whatever was saying, it was emanating from that engagement. Number three, Chair, I want to touch the Limpopo potato, tomato factory. Tomato industry. We went there, and they were complaining that IDC is not funding, and there were many things. Then we went there, and I wanted to check that with your statement to say the turnaround. It takes about 15 days because we went there. They said they were not assisted, and we revisited, and they were not, and we did not get from the IDC what was the reason. If maybe I'm not sure whether you are aware of that one. Plus, the government, I'm saying this because the government of Limpopo, provincial government, has landed, they gave them a grant of about 18 million because it has got connotations of BB3E. Then I wanted to check that whether was the provincial government in touch with you to check when they were giving this grant, and then what are the hindrances? And lastly, Chair, is the solar system or renewable energy resources, you find that it is too expensive. I mean, when you compare with the coal or with energy from coal. Now I wanted to check what makes that. I mean, why can't we make a capacity here locally where they can produce these panels? Because I believe they are from Germany or from outside. And then, why can't we put more money building the capacity to produce these at local level instead of still going through that expensive thing, and instead of just creating the capacity locally so that we can be able to match this coal energy. And the Nguni Kettle, last time you spoke about the project. In fact, we went there, Limpopo, to check at this Nguni Kettle. We haven't heard the progress because we had some other people saying this project is useless. The kettle are lightweight and they don't have meat. I mean, they cannot be compared with the what do we call it? I'm a Brahman. You can, when it comes to meat and milk. So now they were saying this really kettle is popular, but when it compares with the others, it doesn't mean anything. I wanted just to check the progress and those comments. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Babuntuli. Is there no after that? Members? Methodist? Which is after? I'm giving you the opportunity now.
Yeah,
if you're not ready, I can proceed.
I am not ready.
You're not ready.
Okay. Babuntuli, thank you very much. I guess
you had the question. I do have the questions of my own also. Yes, we have a challenge of growing the economy at the same time making sure that we at the same time we want to ensure that we create jobs, the necessary jobs. And I'm quite happy that most of the projects that you fund are also able to create jobs, except those larger projects. But it is true that when you look at the graph on the payments or on the projects that you're paying, it shows that you are biased to those bigger projects that are not really having quite a larger impact in terms of job creation. Whereas we have, for instance, the agriculture that could assist and agro-processing. I can see that when you go to other continental countries, you do have, you do find agro-processing projects together with Land Bank, but internally, locally, Land Bank doesn't want to fund projects that are focused on processing of agricultural products. What is it that you're doing to assist? Because I can see, you know, the one that we're talking about, for instance, Babuntuli was talking about on tomato paste. I do understand why IDC is not really eager to get into that. After interrogating that project, it's quite clear that we had our own fears as members, but we wanted to understand from the perspective of the ITC what are the challenges there. But at the same time, it poses a very good, it has a potential, let me say, of really assisting the about two, we're told it's about 2,000 farmers, emerging farmers in the Limpopo. I think that company is partnering with about 2,000 farmers. They belong to various associations, but the umbrella association is the one that has bought shares in the in this company. The fact of the matter is, it's not shares in the company, it's only in S5 equipment is concerned. And what does that mean? Don't we have such risk, ventures that we've entered into? And supported as ITC. And how are we helping our provinces, for instance? How can a province take out about 18 million to fund such a venture? I don't understand that. But the fact of the matter, it has been done, but there's a challenge also of assisting this particular company. I saw the questions that you wrote to that company to address. I think all of us saw them. And I agree with the questions because you wanted to build your case. But then how do you ensure that you also alert those emerging farmers so that they are alert to the fact that the fears that you have in? Because right now they don't understand, they believe what they are doing, they want money from ITC and ITC is delaying to give them money, they don't understand. And they're just assisting this other company, the other companies, not knowing that you are working to their own benefit. Actually, whatever that you're trying to address is to their benefit. So what I'm trying to say is, how do you ensure that you also assist in building and making emerging companies and protecting those emerging companies by making them understand the business that they're involved in? Because you've been long in this, and then you could help, because with that we can see a lot of jobs being created in the rural areas. But apart from that, I understand that you are taking long, for instance, in focusing a lot of your attention into the manufacturing and agro areas, sector. The issue is, to me, what are you doing to ensure that there's more focus? Because we see a lot of arable land being diverted into other developments other than land, which is so important for food production and so also for our food security challenges that we have in the country. Because that is one of the areas that I think for us to be able to deal with poverty issues, we have to encourage so that we don't depend in both Kenya and other countries, whereas we could also on our own be doing that. And we know from the research that that sector, the two sectors actually have a greater potential of creating more jobs. So by so saying, Babqina, I'm suggesting that you do something in partnership with the land bank in order to revitalize, you know, the agricultural sector so that we see more funds going towards that direction. The other question I had, although I'm spending more time on questions now more than other members, is the issue of the risk, which is too high. Are we putting too much pressure on you as a country? I do understand here what is the areas that are really eating up too much. You're saying it's on the metals, transport machinery, and these are the areas where we're saying we need to focus on in terms of localization. Is it too much pressure for you to can stand, hence the high risk? What do you envision going forward? Are we going to be able to mitigate this challenge going forward? Yeah, maybe I should also end there, but also in the film industry, I understand the focus in the Western Cape, but I think the main activities and potential lie in other areas too. And the centralization actually is around Gauteng, but if you look at the scenic beauty issues, you could go to the most rural areas, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, you know, the KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape areas, that's where you see, and that's where most of the films are taken. I understand the sea issue here, but can't we do something also to increase the growth levels, levels of those provinces? Yeah, that's, and also just to encourage even the youngsters to participate in this industry. Yeah, this would be the end of the first question. May I hand over to you?
Do you want us to grab the okay, let's just have a
you people are waking up.